Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways you can learn about how we are church together is to check out your bulletin. There are announcements and a calendar about worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. And if you have a question, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There'll also be an elder at the communion table following worship this morning. And brave souls being here after losing an hour of sleep, but you are invited to the same challenge that I put up on the GPC Facebook page this morning. I would invite you over this next course of the week. Every time you're really feeling that lost hour of sleep, I would encourage you to set aside a non-perishable food item to bring to the Lenten wall of food. And let's see just how large it grows over this next week. A good spiritual practice that will be beneficial to all. All right, a few other announcements this morning. Everyone is also welcome to our second hour today. Transforming faith as family, as we gather together to hear and hold the stories. This will be a chance for parents of LGBTQ youth, some of whom are not quite so young anymore, but for them to share their stories and for us to listen and ask questions. So all are welcome to join us today at 11:30 in the adult lounge. Also, as you're grabbing that cup of coffee and making your way down, there are some cards on a table out here outside of the sanctuary for Katie as a thank you. If you didn't have a chance to sign them when we had our congregational meeting in January, you can grab one and fill that out today. All right, Barb also had an announcement.
Good morning, Barb Chapman, representing the Mustard Seed Scholarship Program Committee. And this is simply a reminder that today at 12:30, we have a mandatory meeting with students and parents who wish to apply for the scholarship. So for those of you that do, we'll see you at 12:30.
Thank you, Barb. And for those who were not here on Fusion Sunday last week, or 2 weeks ago, we had a coloring page that was sitting on the communion table and is now back here. You do not have to be a child, anyone of any age, at any time during worship. If you'd like to come up and color quietly, you are welcome to do so. Now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God together.
band Trap Family Singers. Please join me for call to worship by standing if able. Jesus offers a new old commandment. With the incredible power and the unfathomable depth of God's love for us, we can, we must. And it is in this that the world will know. Come, children of God. God, in your love.
Amen. Take a breath. The joy of worshiping God in all the many ways. Friends, we bring that breath. We bring our joy, and we also bring our brokenness, our hurts, the places of suffering in our lives and in this world. Let us join together our voices in the prayer of confession. Almighty, all-merciful God, through Christ Jesus, you have taught us to love one another, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and even to love our enemies. In times of violence and fear, we confess that we fail to see how deeply we are connected as a human family. We deny Jesus with our actions when we turn away from those in need of compassion and welcome. We feel the tension and slippage between the deep truth of our faith and the easier settlements of our society. We do not ask for an easy way out, but for courage and honesty and faithfulness. God, in your mercy, transform our lives. the children are invited to come forward.
Bigger kids can come up here if they want to. I've got a bowl of candy. Dum-dums, right. So this bowl of dum-dums, I think, is interesting. And my good friend Jim Poole just proved my theory this morning. When you get a bowl of dum-dums like this, what do you do? You eat, but which one do you eat? Your favorite, right. Everybody wants to pick their favorite. What happens to the dum-dums that people don't pick? They sit there for 5 years, right? Right. So this is kind of like people. Sometimes we pick people that we like, and people that we don't like, we really don't pick them, right? You know, maybe the kids that are sitting at a lunch table by themselves, or the kids that never get picked to play on your team. But Jesus tells us to love one another. He doesn't say, pick your favorite. He doesn't say, let the unfavorite one stay in the bowl forever. He wants us to love one another. Everybody. That reminds me of a story I heard about a softball game. Girls softball game. The score was tied. It was down to the last inning. And a girl hit a home run, which would win the game, right? Everybody's cheering. Everybody's excited. But on her way to first base, she twisted her ankle and fell down. She couldn't run. And baseball has a bunch of rules. Softball, too. When you hit a home run, you have to touch every base. So what do you think happened when she fell and hurt her ankle? They lost? Nope. What? She crawled. She started crawling. But then what happened? What? So could her coach come out and help her? Nope. That's one of the rules of softball. Your team can't help you touch all the bases. Her teammates couldn't help her. So what happened was players from the other team came out and carried her around so that she could touch every base, which meant they lost the game because that was the winning run. But they showed love to this player that was hurt. Well, that's another good question. What does the game mean, right? So that was just an excellent example, I think, of people living out what Jesus teaches us to do, to love one another no matter who they are. Yeah, and he couldn't play anymore? Yeah. Okay, so let's have a prayer. Dear Lord, help us to remember that you have told us to love one another just as you have loved us. Amen. So now you can come pick your favorite. Yeah, and go to class.
Just as softball, baseball have rules, there's a rule book in the Bible, Leviticus has 27 chapters of rules, one after the other. We're going to read from the 19th chapter, about 18 verses, and if you can count how many rules in there, that's good. But just remember the last one that we read. So listen for it. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall each revere your mother and father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make cast images for yourselves. I am the Lord your God.'" Should you repeat that every time I say that? I am, no. "When you offer a sacrifice of willing being, a well-being to the Lord, offer it in such a way that it is acceptable on your behalf. It shall be eaten on the same day you offer it, or the next day, and anything left over until the third day shall be consumed in fire. If it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an abomination. It will not be acceptable. All who eat it shall be subject to punishment because they have profaned what is holy to the Lord, and any such person shall be cut off from the people. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyards bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyards. You shall leave them for the poor and aliens. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not bear falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbors. You shall not steal. And you shall not keep yourself the wages of a laborer until the morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall not fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render any unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defender of the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any, or against any of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Thank you.
second reading of the Word for this morning comes from the Gospel of John. When he, being Judas, had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. As I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I loved you. You also should love another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow afterward." And Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you that before the cock crows, you will have denied me 3 times. We are still a few weeks away from hearing the story in its entirety. From Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, surrounded by palm-waving crowds shouting their hosannas, to the Thursday evening when Jesus shares a final meal with his disciples and he washes their feet, and the journey to the cross and grave. Now, Holy Week also brings up one of the most popular questions that I receive throughout the liturgical year. What does the Maundy in Maundy Thursday mean? All right, I won't keep you in suspense until the end of the month. You could also Google. The name Maundy is derived from the Latin mandatum, meaning mandate or command, and comes precisely from this passage. "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." I have often read these words and sang the verses of our opening hymn this morning and heard that commandment and felt the power, the simplicity of those words, right? Love one another. But when we read these words in their larger context, the complexity, the messiness of what this means is also quite stunning. Jesus' glorification is realized in the entirety of the Word made flesh, the incarnation, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. But it's in this moment, in these verses, that Jesus is preparing his disciples for the reality of what his departure means for them. It was Judas who had gone out in verse 31 to carry out his betrayal of Jesus that leads to the arrest. And Peter, who denies his beloved master and teacher and friend 3 times before the cock crows. And in these in-between verses, you can almost feel the air go out of the room as Jesus begins with great affection and care for his group of friends that have been with him throughout his ministry, and that he's only going to be with them for just a little while longer. And the drama and the tension in the room rises as the confusion sets in to their hearts and their minds. And he says to them, "I give you a new commandment. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. This is how everyone will know that you're my disciples, the love you have for each other." And they knew in that moment that Jesus isn't talking about any kind of romantic love, the warm, fuzzy kind, or the kind that you offer when you know that those people will just love you right back. The kind of love that he is talking about is more than that general love everybody, that being nice kind of love, because it's what it says on my bumper sticker just after I cut someone off. No, this is the kind of kind of love that Jesus is talking about is the "I just washed Judas' feet, and now he has gone out, and you need to keep loving him because I do." That kind of love. The God loves the world by dying for those who so obviously don't love him. No wonder that Peter wants to know where Jesus is going. With so many relationships filled with turmoil and tension and resentment, that wherever Jesus is going has got to be better than there. He's willing to give his own life to avoid the pain and suffering of this world. No wonder Peter wants to go with him. And I don't believe that Jesus tells Peter about his imminent denial just to throw it into Peter's face that he isn't good enough to go where Jesus is going. No. This is a reinforcement of the lengths to which God will go to know us, to love us, to be in relationship with us. Perhaps neither Judas nor Peter, for that matter, knew how they could possibly love one another as Jesus loved them. They struggled. They struggled hard with not feeling worthy of that kind of love. The kind of love that accepts people for who they are, all their strengths and weaknesses. Just the best that is in the person, but their worst. The kind of love that brings patience and understanding, energy and hope for transformation. And neither Peter nor Judas can imagine someone having that kind of love for them, let alone living up to a commandment to love others in this way. You see, it's how. That's the question that I really hear Peter asking. Not some logistical where sort of place, but how, Jesus, how can I love like you love? What I hear is the question the Vietnamese monk Thich Nhat Hanh raises in his book, Teachings on Love. Please tell me. How can I love you better? And there's a nuance in looking at the question in that way that releases Peter, and subsequently all of us, not from the responsibility of the commandment, but that crushing self-doubt that we could even pretend to love like Jesus. That cushion makes room for acknowledging that even when my heart is in the right place, and I want to love you, I do, I don't always know what that looks like. That I'm still learning how to love you in the best way. The best way for you. Not more love, but the better love. How can I love you in a way that puts your way of being loved ahead of my own sense of what loving has to look like? How can I love you better? And there are so many different ways to love. Some of us need to be held and lovingly touched, and others need to be loved by giving them space and room and solitude. Some of us need a person who will listen and not fill space with pithy words and cliche sayings. And some of us just need you to sit in our silence. Is that how I can love you better? Others need to be shown love by doing things for them. Acts of service, send a card, do the dishes. Sit with me at that doctor's appointment. Put all your love in a casserole dish and bake it until it is warm and bubbly and good. Tell me if this is how I can love you better. You are my beloved, God whispers to us. Through time and space, this cosmic mystery, secrets written in our eyes that no words have spoken. And God, yes, God continues to ask this question that has the power to transform the very relationship that God has with us, God's people. And that same question has the power to transform our relationships. Our relationship with God and our relationships with each other. You see, we know this commandment, the one to love God, to love one another, and it is a new commandment precisely because God asks the question, how can God love us better? And then we have this opportunity to ask it of each other. Especially during times of uncertainty and fear, you see, Jesus knew that these disciples were losing their master and friend, and they would feel so alone and scared. There would be all this pressure and hostility from the influences of the world to succumb to inward-looking, self-preserving interests that only cares about what is best for those who have the most to lose. He knew they would be tempted to forget what his love looked and felt like. That throughout Jesus' life and ministry, that these disciples witnessed how again and again Jesus asked all those who came to him, despite their social standing, their race, their gender differences, their physical and mental abilities and illness, he would ask them over and over again, how can I love you better? So I wonder how we might allow this question to become the question, the most prevalent one that we ask during Lent and Holy Week, and perhaps every day of our lives, that this question would be the mark of what it means to be Jesus' disciples in the world today. How can I love you better? Imagine for a moment this being the question that we, Gates Presbyterian Church, ask each other. During a time when we are facing a lot of transitions, saying goodbye to our associate pastor, Katie, celebrating the retirements of our office staff, Kay and Vicki. My sabbatical coming up this summer, there's a lot of conversations that focus on what steps need to happen to continue our faithful ministry. And inevitably, this communal unease and unnamed grief will bubble up. So in context of worship, of learning together, around meeting tables, what does it look like to ask the question, how can we love each other better? In our mission partnerships, we heard from those who returned from Jamaica. And this morning, very, very early, the Guatemalan mission team set out. But when we're at Salem or St. Joseph's or the new communities through Rock Salt Mission Center, let us practice humility. Not just in how we think it's best to love others, but in listening to the responses from our neighbors when we ask that question. And perhaps it's easier to ask this question to those we don't share our every single day with. And I think this is why that Jesus commands his disciples to love one another, the closest, most intimate circles of our lives. Imagine yourself asking that restless toddler, the angsty teenager, the demanding spouse, the high-maintenance friend, the people closest to you, the people who would be the first to betray, to deny, to offer empty promises. The people closest to us are often the most difficult to love. So let us show the world that we are Christians by our love. How can we love better? May it be so. Thank you. join our hearts together in love, we join them also together in prayer. If you have a prayer of joy or a prayer of concern to share aloud, raise your hand and be happy to share those prayers together.
Joanne Vander, I just want to say how blessed I am to be part of this Gates Presbyterian Church family. You have been so supportive, and I want to thank you all for the cards, the visits, the food, and attending the service. We were just so overwhelmed and blessed, and I just want to thank you and thank the people who did that wonderful reception. Everybody commented how friendly and nice it was, and thank Katie and Melissa especially that came and visited, and all the people that participated in the service. We are so blessed to have this family support. Thank you.
Prayers continue with you, Joanne, your family.
Carrie Drakes, I'm just asking for prayers for my father-in-law and my wife as we navigate the journey through the dementia issues that he's going through right now. I haven't left up time.
Continued prayers, Gary. They're snapping over here. That's a good way to do it.
Ross Graver. I'm offering a prayer of thanksgiving and also a prayer of hope for some of the parents and grandparents who are wondering if their child is ever going to make it through their trip to college. Jennifer will turn, well, she did turn 30 last week, and we got an email. She goes, Ma, it took me 20 years, but I finally figured out this college thing. No, it took her 10 years. She has received a fellowship for her senior year at the University of Missouri at St. Louis. She is the one student on campus who won an internship with the St. Louis State Assembly, and she is working on a mental health bill with the legislator that she works with. And I have to feel that she has gone into political science, and I know her strong feeling of justice was so supported by her trip to New York City, her trip to Jamaica, the support for her trip to Guatemala, and being a part of this marvelous congregation took her a journey, but I want to thank you for all your support and prayers all those years. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks be to God for all the journeys our children, no matter how old they get, take.
Jan Buettner, I'd just like to ask prayers for that young man who is missing in the city, and for his family. It's got to be really tough when you have a child that's with autism, doesn't can't communicate, doesn't sure what's going on. And just pray that they find him and that he's safe and well.
Amen. And continue to hold that family in prayers. You're good. You'll come on.
Okay.
All right.
I have a concern. Prayers for a friend of mine who's struggling with two addictions. He's doing okay with one. He needs all our prayers. It's not been easy for him, so and those around him. So please keep him in your prayers.
Prayers for your friend and all those facing and struggling with addiction. See a hand over here. There we go. Go ahead.
Gail Knowles. In this troubled world, it's impossible to escape the news media and whatever. Anyone would like to have a wonderful escape. The Spencer Park Community Chorus at 3 o'clock this afternoon is performing an all-Broadway show at the Ogden Presbyterian Church on Union Street, and it is just going to be amazing. It spans a very long period of time. All genres, poignancy, huge amount of humor, and it's just just beyond belief. I just can't plug it enough. So
thank
you. Want to have a wonderful, wonderful time on escape. Show up at 3 at Ogden Press. Thank you.
Fran.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my husband, Bob, who is facing surgery on Tuesday for a large kidney stone.
Prayers for you, Bob. And also draw your attention. Go for it, Sal. I see you.
Sally Christensen. I would ask prayers for our son, Matt, and his wife. The birth of their third child is imminent. It's a little boy, so they only have two girls and a boy, but they also know, they have known since around Thanksgiving time, that the baby's left hand has not developed properly. They've been through the horrific wait for test results on amniocentesis because it could have been something really horrible. Everything came back negative there, which is a blessing. But they do know there is a problem with the baby's left hand development. So I would ask prayers for them as they're in the last week or two of waiting for this little guy to come along. And A, that there's nothing else going on. He can handle a hand. And prayers for this little guy's parents, that they handle it and that we all handle it just right.
Thanks. Prayers for the safe arrival and all the complications of loving and joy. Also draw your attention to the back of the bulletin where we hold Marge Westfall, who had surgery this week. For Hannah, who we're glad is here today, but who has had an eye infection. For Wendell and Peter, for Ruth, and especially for Judy Glukowski this morning. And with our children, we hold prayers of joy and concern. This is a good one. Joy for baseball season starting soon. Amen. Joys for having a brother home from college this week. Joys for having a grandma home from vacation. For other upcoming trips. And joys for school musical performances. Amen. Let's continue our time of prayer. Loving and listening God, ever attentive to the voices of those in need, we call on your name so that we we join our voices responsively as well. And I say, God, in your grace, you respond, transform our world. God, we pray for the church that bears Christ's name, that the world may know that we are his disciples by the love we have for one another. God, in your grace, transform our world. For leaders of nations and all persons in positions of authority, that their lives may be marked by Christ-like service and love. God, in your grace, transform our world. For all who are oppressed and living in captivity, that they may escape from evil and death to find your land, O God, freedom that you have promised. God, in your grace, transform our world. For those who are hungry and thirsty this day, for those who have too much, that we may learn to share your generous gifts, O God. God, in your grace, transform our world. For those who are dealing with loss or facing death, that the presence of Christ may bless and keep them. God, in your grace, transform our world. Answer us in the day of trouble, O God, so that we may lift up the cup of salvation in the presence of your people, giving thanks for all your goodness to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not to temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Let us now receive our morning offering.
the greatest gift of all, salvation. It has transformed us and continues to transform us. What we have done just now by having this offering is just a symbol of our love for you, not because it's a commandment that we do, but it's because it's a love that we have for you and for others. We pray that you will do the same with this as was done with the loaves and fishes on the hillside that multiplied by you and fed many. We pray that this will be multiplied, these gifts of ours, and will bless and transform many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Benediction is actually verse 4. The words in the bulletin that are printed there are correct. Friends, but we go. We go now with the assurance of God's love that is ever in our lives and the power that comes from knowing Jesus' love that came to this world, that lived, that died, and rose again. And the courage that comes from the Holy Spirit that it takes for us to learn to love one another now and always. God, transform our faith. We respond with our lives.